Let us remember our baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will show forth your praise.
Hurry, O God, to deliver me.
Hurry to help me, O Lord.
Glory be to the Father,
and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
World without end.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Come, offer now your worship to God, the Holy One.
Give voice to your heart's praises, responding to his love, with instruments and singing,
with shouts and cries of joy.
Father, Son, and Spirit, give grace forevermore.
The Father, our Creator, knew all that he would do. Before one man came forward,
he saw both me and you.
He knew that sin would break us and spoil all he had made.
Planned then to send us Jesus,
our death himself would pay.
The Son became our body,
took up our flesh and blood,
lived perfectly before us,
God's will and his welfare,
then offered his perfection
in place of all our sin,
by suffering, dying, and rising,
our place united with him.
Send us, Holy Spirit, who call us into faith, in departing in baptism, with God's unboundless grace. He leads and brings us wisdom, through words and
so in this place we gather to worship and adore the God who has redeemed us from sin and Satan's lure. There is no God beside him. He is the Holy One. He's Father, Son, and Spirit, God, the blessed three in one. Lord, you caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning.
Make us wise enough to listen to him, read, mark, study, and meditate.
Help us find patience and comfort in your holy word,
so that we may ever embrace and hold fast the surest certain hope of our everlasting life.
This you have given us
through our Savior Jesus Christ,
who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit,
one God, forever.
Amen. And please be seated.
Listen to God's word as recorded in Genesis chapter 22.
Speak, O Lord, your servant listens. As your word of truth is given,
plant it deep within my heart,
wherever your blessings shall abound.
Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abram, Abram." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possessions of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nation on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Listen to God's word as recorded in Acts chapter 1. "Speak, O Lord, your servant listens. May your word guide me to heaven. As I journey toward the goal, help me to show love more and more." In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they gathered together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God, for his word is truth."
In reverence, let us stand for a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28.
Speak, Lord. Your servant listens. In your word, may I see Jesus. Through his life, death for me. From death to life, he sets me free.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus.
Praise to you, my Lord and Savior. Now I am your creation. You have washed me in your blood, that I may dwell with you in love.
Grace be unto you and peace from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, indeed, we are privileged to meditate upon the verse that you have chosen to be your verse commemorating your 50th anniversary from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the second chapter. Listen now to verse 20. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Dear friends and fellow believers in Jesus, first of all, greetings from your fellow believers in Christ across the Indiana district, which includes, of course, all of Indiana and then also northern Kentucky. We are all united in the church. And the church's one foundation, as you sang, is Jesus Christ, her Lord. Today, as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of this congregation, it is tempting to think of the building. You have a wonderful building, spectacular. It just is marvelous with the stained glass windows and with the structure. Truly a blessing to have this building in which to receive the blessings from our God. But it's not about the building. The church is not the building. As wonderful as this building may be, it could, God forbid this would happen, it could burn down or be blown over by a tornado and the church would still exist. For the church is not the building. The verse that you have chosen begins with these words, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Having been built, sounds like building words, right? Well, as we trace this word built back in the scriptures, we find that it's first used all the way back in Genesis, the second chapter. Most translators don't get the translation as far as the translation of the word, Hebrew word, built. They usually don't get it exactly correct, but many of your Bibles will have a footnote. First of all, the Bible says that God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul or a living being. God breathed into his nostrils. The breath of God is the Holy Spirit. And so, for instance, in John 20, it says, and the Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. So the breath of God was given to Adam. But Adam was not complete. God needed to build for him a bride. And so God took from the side of Adam. And literally in the Hebrew, it can be translated rib or side, either way. And he built a woman. Yes, that is the word that is used in the Hebrew. God built the bride for Adam. He built her from Adam. He built her so Adam would appreciate and love her. He built her from Adam so she would love and appreciate her husband. And so we see in that account the first use of the word build, and how appropriate. For that word is used to describe then the building or the establishment of the bride of Christ. Even as there is the first Adam, who is talked about and who is described in Genesis 1 and 2, and especially Genesis 2, so now we have the new Adam, the new beginning of the human race, and his bride is taken from his side as well. And I'll mention this briefly here, but I will talk about it later in the sermon, that even as the bride of Adam, the first Adam, was taken from his side, so the Apostle John looked at Jesus hanging on the cross, and he looked and saw the Savior dead, and to guarantee his death, the Roman soldier thrust his spear into our Savior's heart, And out from that side, same word used as in Genesis in the Greek, out of the side of Jesus came forth blood and water. Yes, that which would build his church. And so we understand that the church of Jesus Christ, his beloved bride, is established and built from him and for him. And so it is that you are the church. And some of you may be thinking, wait a minute, Pastor Brege, how come we are the church? Isn't the church much bigger than that? Well, I want you to realize God loves to consider things in a large sense, but then also in a plural sense. There is a oneness with God. There is one essence. There is but one God. And yet, even with God himself, there is a plurality. There are three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so it is with the church, the bride of Christ. It is a huge reality. The church is called the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. It is called the heavenly Jerusalem. It is made up of all of those who are in Christ, whether they are alive now or whether they have died in Christ. This is the body of Christ. But also, individually, here at Good Shepherd, is the entire body of Christ. The bride of Christ is here in this place. Though it is a large concept, yet individually the bride of Christ is to be found everywhere. So here, for 50 years, the bride of Christ has had a reality. And individually, you are members. Those of you who are not visitors today, those of you who are members of Good Shepherd, you are members of the body of Christ. You are members of the bride of Christ. And you are established in Jesus. The second Adam has now built his bride. And so your text says, having been built, that's the church, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone. Christ built his church. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And when the apostle Peter gave his great confession in Matthew 16 and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of God," Jesus said, "Upon this rock," in other words, the rock of Peter's confession, "upon this rock," Jesus says, "I will build my church." And you've had some, I'm sure, wonderful pastors, and I'm guessing every single one of them was a wonderful pastor. I hope, anyway. At any rate, did those pastors build Good Shepherd Lutheran Church? Did they build the bride in this place? Well, God certainly used them. But what does that verse say in Matthew chapter 16? Jesus says, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." Jesus builds his church. Jesus establishes his bride. And what is the church built upon? Your text says, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, that was a way of referring basically to this: the Bible. Sola Scriptura. We are built upon the Word of God. That is our foundation. You are built upon the Word of the prophets of the Old Testament, beginning with Moses and going all the way through Malachi. You are built upon the words of the apostles, beginning with Matthew and going through the book of Revelation. This is what you are built on: the foundation of the apostles and prophets. But we always have to bear in mind that the Bible is not simply a history book. The Bible is not simply a book about directions about how to live or do this. The Bible is about Jesus. And that's why your verse, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by St. Paul, says, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone. Now, I didn't get a chance to look at the cornerstone of this building. When was it built? Anybody know? 73? All right. Well, the cornerstone in our day and age pretty much only does that. It identifies the building as being a building associated with thus and such, in this case, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, and it identifies the date that it was established. But back at the time of Christ, back at the time when St. Paul wrote this epistle to the Ephesians, the cornerstone was understood as that piece of the structure that was put down first. And it was so important that it determined all of the angles and directions of the building. And so it is that Christ is the cornerstone of Holy Scripture. He establishes all the angles and the directions of the Word of God. The Bible, yes, it's history. Yes, it gives us directions about this, that, and the other thing. Yes, it has wise proverbs. But those are meaningless without Christ. The Bible is about Jesus Christ. And that's why in John chapter 5, and we read this verse in Bible class, that's why in John 5, Jesus said to the Jewish leaders, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me." And there he's especially speaking of the prophets, the Old Testament. But the entire Scriptures are about Jesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, as recorded in Luke 24, he said to the disciples, "Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all of the Scriptures. Yes, it's about Jesus. You are built on the foundation. You, as the bride of Christ, are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Now, what's really, really sad is a lot of people look at something like what I just said, and they see therein only stuff to be learned with the head, only things to be memorized, only things to be considered as truths. Now, to be sure, God expects us to grow in our knowledge. God expects us to have a firm and mature understanding of his word. And so the very last verse that the apostle Peter wrote was, "But grow," he says, "grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory," St. Peter writes, "both now and forever." And then he says, "Amen." I'm glad no one stood up when I said that. At any rate, what does Peter say? Grow in the grace. In other words, keep feeding your faith. Grow in the grace and knowledge. Yes, grow in knowledge. You, the people of Good Shepherd, and you who are visitors, we as Christians are called upon to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what is this knowledge about? It is about law and gospel, and certainly about other things, but that is our foundational message, law and gospel. And so the prophets of the Old Testament spoke of and related the truths of the Ten Commandments, certainly foundational. But when we look at the Ten Commandments, we realize that we have not kept them perfectly. How many of you have loved your fellow members of your family perfectly? How many of you, when we have a prayer in church, are thinking about every single thought in that prayer? How many of you, when you come to worship, are doing it totally and completely, thinking about everything and concentrating from your heart and mind about worship? How many of you have lust in your heart, in your mind? How many of you have evil thoughts? How many of you have had evil words come out of your mouth? Perhaps foul words perhaps cursing, perhaps words that hurt people. Yes, the Ten Commandments reveal that we are poor, miserable sinners. And even yet, being the saved people of God, we still need forgiveness. St. Paul wrote, "The good that I want to do, I find myself not doing it. And the evil that I don't want to do, I find myself doing it." St. Paul was there confessing he continually needed forgiveness. And so also the Apostle John would write, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Truly, you people of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church have met, have joined together, have received the word and the sacraments, and so have been built, but are continually being forgiven, established in the Lord Jesus. We started out as dead. And so verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And when you were dead in your trespasses and sins, he made you alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." And later on he explains it further in verses 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And we continue to need that gift. So Christ, the husband of his bride, the church, he comes to us. And the Apostle John would write in his first epistle, "He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ." And then he says, "Not by water only, but by water and blood." And then he says, "And it is the Spirit who bears witness, for the Spirit is truth." And these three are in agreement, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Yes, Jesus comes to you by the Spirit, the water, and the blood. He comes to you as the Spirit is always connected to the Word of God, always connected to the Word that is preached, as the pastors who were pastoring this congregation faithfully proclaimed the good news of salvation. There was the Spirit of Christ breathing into, yes, his bride, the life that had been breathed into Adam, first of all, and then received by Eve as she was created and built to be the bride of Christ. Christ comes to us by the Spirit, the water, and the blood. It was based on this verse that Martin Luther would say that in baptism we are washed with blood. And you sang it a moment ago, and yes, we are washed in the blood of Christ. Not with water only, but with water and blood. And why do we want to magnify that? Because in your baptism you were forgiven. In your baptism you were declared righteous before God. And so you are established as the bride of Christ. And you have been established for these 50 years as individually Christ has established his bride through this washing of water with the Word. Christ comes by the Spirit, by water, by Word, and so he continues to come to you. As those who are eligible will come forward and receive the precious blood and body of Jesus, Christ is coming to you, and he is forgiving your sins and establishing you so that by his grace, you will last another 50 years. For it's only in his grace that his church is built and established. Christ comes to you, and Christ, the heavenly bridegroom, establishes his bride. You need forgiveness. You need his salvation. And he wants to keep on building you. Building you as individuals, building you as a congregation, as surely as you have been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. In his name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
And please rise, and we continue with hymn 956.
Please be seated. We continue our worship with our gifts to continue the work of His church. Celebrate your gracious blessing upon us who are Good Shepherd Lutheran Church. You have proved over and over that you are a loving and powerful Creator and Redeemer. Today, turn our eyes toward to the future. Help us to thank you for all that you have done in and through Good Shepherd over the past 50 years. But empower us to build upon all that has gone before us, and to seek to be effective in carrying out Christ's commission in bringing the gospel of Jesus to the people of our day and to those who will be placed before us in the future. Holy Spirit, enable us to demonstrate your fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And when we sin, enable us to humbly confess our sins and turn away from them. Lord Jesus, continue to be present with us as we gather in your name. Continue to intercede for us before the Father. Continue to send your Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to teach and strengthen us to follow you faithfully each new day. Heavenly Father, we also know that you are the great physician of body and soul. And this morning we lift up these people for your care, healing, and guidance. Sharon Clark, Rose Krimmel, Mildred Melvin, Jerry and Barb Miller, Kurt Maddox, Julie Maddox, Bobby Joe Epperson, Pastor Sonova, Cindy Tincher, Ruth Julian, Christopher Springer, Brian Maddox, Lauren Hendricks, Charlie and Nan Jones, Dana Carlisle, Bill Cummings, Stephanie Stewart, Debbie Vaughn, Ted Perkinson, Ladima Lines, the Friend of the Powers family, Ben Hall, Quentin Byrne, Catherine Noeth, and Debbie Howell. Receive our prayers, Blessed Trinity, for the sake of your redeeming love.
Amen. Amen.
How can we approach God's altar if sin stands between us and our God, or between us and another individual? Let us, with humble and repentant hearts, lay our sins before the throne of grace.
O holy and all-powerful Creator, in repentance and true sorrow, I stand before you. From all wrong and present, I cannot hide the true feelings of my heart. I am a sinner, worthy of your punishment now and in eternity. I have no righteousness of my own to offer you. For the sake of Jesus' perfect life, suffering, and sacrificial death on the cross, I plead for your forgiveness. I fully intend by the power of your Holy Spirit to turn away from sin and live the new life given me in my baptism. Don't turn your face away from me, but let your mercy be showered upon me, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
St. John the Apostle wrote by the Spirit, "If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." Jesus gives this authority to his church. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Therefore, it is my joy and privilege, as a shepherd in Christ's church, to announce by his authority and command that your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Dearest Savior, bend down. Bend down in divine compassion and love as we prepare to receive, with the bread and the wine of the sacrament, your precious body and blood. Give us faith never to doubt the truth of your words. This is my body given for you, and this is my blood shed for you. Shut out all worldly thoughts as we meditate upon your mercy, your suffering and dying in our place upon the cross of Calvary. O Christ, Lamb of God, be merciful to us sinners. Lord, we believe. Help us overcome our unbelief.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and having given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body, given on your behalf. Do this for my remembrance." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Christ, peace be with all of you.
And may his peace be with you also.
Thank you. Take heed, this is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Take and drink, this is the precious blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus, shed for you.
This is the true body of all your sins. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take heed, this is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take heed, this is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior.
Take and drink. This is the holy, precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God, shed for you.
Take, eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take heed. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to die for your sins. Take heed. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sins. Take heed. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take heed. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. May this true body and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take, eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body.
Take and drink. This is the holy, precious blood of Jesus, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins.
May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Welcome to the Lord's table. Take, eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. Take, eat. This is the true body of the holy, precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you. Given to death.
Thank you. us stand for prayer. Father, you are the source of all that is good and right. We acknowledge with grateful hearts your love in allowing us to receive the mystery of this blessed meal. Having received the body and blood of your only Son, Jesus, in, with, and under the bread and wine, connected to Christ's powerful word and promise, make us steadfast in living and professing this faith into which we have been established through our baptism into fellowship with him. Remember the covenant of Calvary and forgive and strengthen us until we come into your presence through Jesus, who reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, the one and only God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Receive God's blessings, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, as we look forward to another 50 years of blessing in Jesus. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen.